Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone. I'd like to welcome all of you back to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. I thought I would start the show out reading some interesting things from my notes. These are notes taken from three different books by Edward Albert Meyer, The Way to Live, The Might of Thoughts, and The Psyche. Let's start out with The Way to Live. And this starts on page 210 and goes through about 216. Page 210, The Way to Live. All good things take time. The constant effort leads to the result, and therefore irrevocably to the zeal. If ordered circumstances prevail within the human being in his or her inner and outer life, then the determination of his/her freedom and further development lies doubtlessly with he himself and she herself, and not in the power of others. When one observes and considers the human being, one recognizes a precisely defined life form which ultimately possesses no kind of independent existence. And what does he mean by independent existence there? And that's something that I picked up in the later parts of this book, is that all human beings were dependent. And it struck me funny when I first read that, because I always think of us the other way, as being independent, but we're really dependent on having air to breathe. We're dependent on the sunlight for temperature, and so things can grow. We're dependent on plants and animals for food. And so we're really not so independent as we think we are. In fact, we're dependent on this biosphere, and even if we develop the technology to get off this biosphere, we have to create the circumstances that match the biosphere that we're living on, including gravity and oxygen, and protect ourselves from certain radiations in space. So we are dependent on the creation and dependent on the circumstances of the life that the creation has designed for us. Now, starting on page 10 in the book Psyche, it says here, the psyche regulates and looks after the material-based feelings and thoughts. So the psyche looks after the thoughts and the feelings of the material consciousness. But when it talks about feelings there, it mentions the German word Gefühl, which is a noun, and these are feelings emerging from thoughts. We also have these things which kind of rage upwards sometimes, out of control, which are the emotions. And the emotions don't generally start so much from the thoughts, and they can be from the unconscious, and they can also take us very, very far off base. So we have to encourage and steer good and healthy thoughts and good feelings. Otherwise, we can end up in an unharmonious, unbalanced state. And to be positively or negatively unequalized means for the psyche to be one of two things: Asgartit, which is an adjective, and Asartung, which is a noun. And that means to get very badly out of control of the good human nature. And the goal here is to maintain an equalized harmony. And our spirit form is always maintaining an equalized harmony. And we have something called the Gemut, which controls the thoughts and the feelings of the spiritual consciousness. It also kind of directs and looks after and regulates the thoughts and the feelings of the spirit-based consciousness. The spirit consciousness-based feelings, the gamut can only be influenced by neutral positive thoughts. So the gamut is always exhibiting an equalized harmony, that balance. The universal consciousness is balanced, nature is balanced, and we're designed to be balanced. Now, when you're balanced, you will excel in striving. And striving is the creational natural law that we must continually be involved in. That's the one law that governs your entire day. You should be continually striving. And if you're idle, then you've fallen outside of the number one creational natural laws is striving, which means you have to work. And you should be working to evolve your consciousness. And you should also be working physically. And idleness is not a good thing for human beings. So the gamut always exhibits this equalized harmony. And when we exhibit the equalized harmony, we tend to function within the creational natural laws. The gamut supplies also the psyche with these swinging waves that originate from the realm of cosmo-electromagnetic life energy. So there's this realm which fuels the power of the swinging waves. And those swinging waves are seen in nature. That's the connectivity of all nature. It's also related to the Om, the O-M, the Omphalan Murado, which is also called the navel of life. It's related to the Empfinden block, and we'll talk more about that in a minute. But the spirit consciousness operates only in the form of equalized state, and thus in the neutral positive form. And this gemut has no direct connection with the material body. You know, there is something called the universal gemut. The creation also has this same kind of structure. I don't know much about it, but it's true. The mentality is also another interesting point here. The mentality occurs in the spiritual realm as well as the physical realm. Now, feelings are impulsations which also originate from sensual physical impulses, but also from drives and instinct forms, from the psychic consciousness-based currents, and also from conditions of the personality. So your feelings are related to your instincts as well. And these feelings can be primal and unavoidable, but they can be traced back to the psychic consciousness-based and the purely physical, as well as also environmental processes can affect your feelings. And the less advanced that the human being is in his or her evolution, the more uncontrollably they react towards their thoughts and feelings, and thus also their emotions. And that's what, again, it's very easy for the human being to fall back into the asgartit or asartung state, where we're no longer in balance. We're no longer neutral, positive in our balance. Now, again, related to the psyche, there's something called the Empfinden block. And this is where the psyche starts to be influenced by the spirit realm. Thus, for the development and the formations of feelings, not only one single block of psychic or physical, spiritual, material, consciousness-based nature is accountable. So there are multiple areas that account for feelings. several different areas. Feelings are these perpetuating energies and impulsations. They color the personal living experience of the human being. And there's also this thing called the ratio, which in the human being is something in our spirit consciousness and our material consciousness that makes us fundamentally a human being. Now, as I've talked about many times on this show, is that we live through many, many reincarnations. And generally, we don't remember directly our previous lifetimes. I think it's in Contact Report 5, perhaps, where it talks about the seven evolutionary steps the humans go through. And the fifth stage is called real life. And in real life, which is a very, very advanced stage that comes millions and millions and millions of years in your reincarnation, in that stage, people can become what's called the Ishwish, the King of Wisdom. And you start at that stage to get the ability to remember is probably not the right word. You start to get the ability to, I think you actually read your previous life experiences from the storage banks rather than recall your previous lives. But in that very, very advanced stage, in the age of recognitions, we start to get the ability to understand what our previous lives were. Now, one thing to remember is the fact that we can forget is a true blessing from the creation. Because if we didn't forget, we would be overwhelmed by experiences from previous lives that we could never let go. So in order to continue to evolve, you have to be able to forget those previous negative experiences. And by the same token, probably some of the positive experiences as well. The spirit form comes into the body of the child at 21 days after the sperm fertilizes the egg. It also brings in the consciousness, and the consciousness exists of your conscious mind, your subconscious mind, your unconscious mind, your personality, the memories of your predecessor personalities, which generally inspire you. And the spirit form is located in an area of your midbrain called the superior colliculus. And it's been strengthened by the previous life experiences. So each time you live a material life, if you've evolved in that lifetime, the spirit form grows stronger and wiser. And that's how you benefit from all these lifetimes. Now, according to the book, The Psyche, we'll live through 42 million years of evolution, 42 million years of incarnations. Now, the people on the earth are generally fairly young in their evolution. And most earth humans are about 4 to 5 million years old, their spirit form. And there are some of us who came originally to the earth in the ancient past, came to the earth on ships from other worlds and died in some of these ancient civilizations that have been on the earth. And our total age, if we're one of these, would be, your spirit form would be 8 to 12 million years old. But we will not finish our evolution on the earth. The blue world will not be around long enough for all the evolution needed by the humanity on this earth. So anyway, that's the way the reincarnation cycle works. The spirit form and the material consciousness come into the body of the child 21 days. You get a new personality, you get a new material consciousness. The memories of your predecessor personalities are stored in the subconscious. And that child has to grow up again. But its spirit form is more evolved than it was the previous lifetime. So these older spirit forms tend to help the new material life evolve a little quicker. And you have kind of a knowing, I would put it that way, about certain things. And one of the things I started to talk about is Empfinden, which is a purely spiritual process of the spiritual consciousness, the Gemut, and it doesn't belong to the spirit, the physical body. And when a person is capable of Empfinden, which is a fine spiritual perception, they can start to receive what are called these swinging waves. Now, the person that can do that is called the Sensitivat. And that's a horrible pronunciation. Forgive me for that. And there's also in the German Feinfühligkeit, which represents the highest possible fineness of feeling of the half-material and psyche feeling realm. And again, forgive my pronunciations. Now we have something called also the sense. The sense processes that which is perceived into different types of swinging waves. So that book, The Psyche, which is one of the books, has incredibly detailed and technical material related to these swinging waves and the interaction between the material consciousness and the spiritual consciousness. Your spiritual consciousness can never be harmed. Your spirit form records everything that you do, all your thoughts. It doesn't sleep. It never dies. It can never become insane. It can never become sick. Your spirit form has existed for millions of years, and it's always in a state of that neutral, positive, equalized harmony. And one of the things you should try to do every day is to harmonize your personality. And there are several questions which you should ask yourself every day. Have I harmonized my personality? Now, what does that mean? Well, part of what that means is that you should have a harmony in your psyche, in your thoughts. It's the disharmony in your psyche that causes your suffering to grow. So ask yourself, have I harmonized my personality today? Am I thinking in neutral, positive thoughts? Have I evolved my consciousness today? Have I learned as much as I possibly can? And the third thing you should ask yourself is, how have I treated others today? Have I treated others the way I should today? Now, we all have a memory. And the memory is the ability to store perceptions. We can even store what are called the Empfinden impulses, radiating out of creation, radiating out of our spiritual processes. Now, our material memory eventually ceases to exist. But the spiritual processes never cease to exist. Your spirit form can never die. It's the wonder of all wonders. Your spirit form is your spiritual consciousness, and we all have a spirit body. And the ability to store perceptions, even these Empfinden impulses, we have the ability to store. So we have a spiritual memory, which is also very interesting. Again, I was explaining how past life memories can be reawakened in later lives. A human being has reincarnated and has a new body and a new memory every time. Now, one of the things that screws up our memory is when the material consciousness is crammed full with all kinds of absurdities, which prevent communication within the memory. Also, deep sorrow can interrupt the ability of our memory. Physical pain can cause a detrimental factor that disturb the communication between the consciousness and the memory. Worry can negatively affect your memory. There is a spiritual and a material memory, yet the two memory forms have nothing to do with one another because they are ordered in their own consciousness. Remember, you have a material consciousness and a spiritual consciousness, and these have no direct contact with each other. They do send each other impulses at times. And the questions, again, that you should ask yourself, have I expanded my knowledge sufficiently today? Have I sufficiently corrected, ordered, formed, and harmonized my personality today? It's one of the things that you'll learn from the Way to Live book, is you should be learning to harmonize your personality. And one of the ways you harmonize your personality is starting to understand that your happiness in life is related to the work that you do, to your toil, to your striving. So we need to accept our striving. It's very important. That's a creational natural law. Have I sufficiently corrected, ordered, formed, and harmonized my personality? Second question. Third question. Have I done the right thing with all human beings whom I come into contact? Those three questions. Have I expanded my knowledge sufficiently today? Have I harmonized my personality today? Have I done the right thing with the humans that I've come into contact with? Another thing that the book The Way to Live tells us about is being idle, and we should never be idle. One of the things to bring suffering in your life is idleness. Being idle means to veer off the course of life, as Billy puts it, and to be estranged from all dignity, to neglect the advancements into the endless, and to not understand the sense of our existence. So one of the things you can do if you have a whole lot to do and it's overwhelming and you don't want to exhaust yourself, that you can organize your work units into short areas of time. Now, this is nothing from Billy. This is just my own stuff here. So you can feel free to ignore this. But sometimes if you'll just take your work time in the 15-minute chunks, half-an-hour chunks, and then take 15 minutes, half an hour, and devote that to something like reading the Meyer material, and then you can divide your day up that way so you don't exhaust yourself too much in your toil. When the human works, then he or she is like Billy describes it as being in a cosmic harmony which undulates through everything. And it's almost like he describes it as a soft whispering that lets everything start to vibrate in love and joy, in which the true human being remains mute. Now, this is very cryptic stuff here, but I think I'm starting to understand what he's talking about. When you start to live under the creational natural law of striving, you'll have a sense of inner harmony and peace. And you remain quiet, and you will feel a sense of harmony. He calls it, it's very poetic what he says here. Okay, when the human works, then he or she is like cosmic harmony which undulates through everything, in which, as if through a soft whispering, lets everything vibrate in love and joy, in which the true human being remains mute, still, and inactive when his or her environment and the cosmos spread the melody of love, concord, and joy in harmonious accord. And he goes on and explains the old teaching that work is a curse and is toil and unfortunate. It's an erroneous thing, he says, because work is the pride of the human being. and the way to the existence and the evolution is related through effort. Therefore, when the human being works, he or she fulfills a part of the human dream, which is anchored in the creational natural laws and recommendation as striving, and is already with him or her at birth. So striving is as important a creational natural law, almost as important as the law of love. And love is not false love. Love is understanding your connectedness to all things. Because the creation, the incredible splendor of nature, is the visible expression of the love of creation. Creation radiates love. So that every point in every place you can find in, feel the radiating love of creation. But that requires you to be sensitive and you to be observing nature. And this fine sensitive feeling, this purely spiritual process, this infinding is something the human being is losing, unfortunately, in this time that we live in. But once the human being consciously, volitionally takes the work and all the toil of the progress upon him or herself, in the recognition of the necessity for evolution. See, we're here to evolve. We're here to evolve our consciousness. And that's why Edward Albert Meyer is putting down in writing all of these incredible amounts of information in these books, The Way to Live, The Psyche, The Might of Thoughts, so the people of the earth in future generations, and a very few of us now even, can start to evolve our consciousness and understand the creational natural laws. So we should truly grasp a part of the sense of the life as a gift and truly love our lives as a gift. And toil is the price of human evolution. And it means when a human being loves the life through toil, then he or she is familiar with one of the innermost secrets of life. So one of the innermost secrets of life is understanding that through your work, you will achieve happiness. The life is light, and in the fact, it is never darkness or gloom when the striving for work, truth, knowledge, and progress blazes in the human being. So these are words of wisdom which aren't so obvious while you're reading them. And then later on, as you start to think about them, they start to radiate and resonate in your spirit form. And then you start to realize how important this information is for your spiritual progress. Now, the Meyer material talks about something called the universal consciousness, which the German term for is Wesenheit, which is an immaterial or material existence without a self-determining possibility of evolution. So what does that mean? What that means is that when the creation evolves, it only has a small possibility for self-determination. Its evolution is pre-programmed. In other words, the creation, the universe, evolves through a set of steps that are very predetermined. The human being is a Weizen. We have a personality. One of the most profound things that Billy said in one of his interviews lately was that if the creation had a personality, it could not create the planets, the stars, and the universe that we know today. Now, I can understand that's a very, very profound statement. All the implications of that I do not know and understand yet. But we, as a Weizen, have a personality. The universal consciousness, although it radiates love, although love is the highest principle in all of creation, and everything follows that principle. Every tiny creature follows that principle in absolute logic. The creation itself, the universal consciousness, it functions on automatic principles that are dogmatic laws of nature. So we as human beings, as cats, dogs, horses, we all have personalities. And we can bounce around a little bit. The creation is not so much like that. So you could compare the evolution of your consciousness to a tree. There's the visible part, like the trunk and the crown, but you also have an inner realm, and your true self, the capital I, the real you, is related to creation, related to the universal consciousness. And you also have a false I, a false identity, that wars against your creational nature. So if you can keep your external and internal growth in balance, you'll be firmly rooted like a tree, and you can withstand the wind and the weather and the difficulties of life. I want to read a little bit from this book called The Way to Live, which you can probably order through Michael Horn if you want to go to theyfly.com. To work means to build one's own house with great affection, in which one can live in comfort and strive further for that which is higher, and in which one can execute further work in higher forms. Again, the creational natural law of striving is one of the keys to happiness. We have to embrace our responsibility to strive at all times in our life. Also, all animals and plants do their work naturally, always in their wise. All life and all evolution is built upon work. All work is life made visible, love and joy made visible. A human being who cannot work with love and joy because he, she generates an adverse attitude towards it in him or herself is unworthy in relation to life and all progress. Now let me warn you, and I suffer from this sometimes, the various circumstances of work can sometimes make us fall into a point of view that puts us against the creational natural laws. And this will end for you in a bad way if you let it go too far. You can have physical illness. You can have attitude problems. So whatever difficulty you're facing right now is put there to help you evolve your material and spiritual consciousness. And there are something called parasites, which are burdensome and evolution impeding. Let me read this here. Unworthy in relation to the life and all progress, and it is better for him or her to separate himself slash herself from society because the parasites are burdensome and evolution impending. So be aware that there are those around you that can impede your evolution. A human being who executes his slash her work with indifference is like a baker who bakes his or her bread with unconcernedness as well as without love and joy, whereby an insipid and bitter bread comes about, which does not taste good to any human being and never stills the hunger. Work fulfills the life, while idleness only creates uncalm, unpeace, and de-evolution. Idleness, be very, very, very aware that idleness can lead you down the wrong path in your life. One of the things that has really just been a struggle for me is, first of all, in like, I think it's contact 540 or something like that, they tell us of the danger of our electronic media. Not just reading. The worst thing to do is read online. It destroys your psyche. It destroys your mind. It destroys your brain. But our television shows, the YouTube channels, the cell phones, everything puts you in this state where you are no longer toiling. You're no longer striving. You're no longer evolving. And this is so dangerous. It's so unfulfilling. And it's a trap. So work fulfills the life, while idleness creates uncalm, unpeace, and devolution. This is the same as a human being making the ears of his or her fellow human beings deaf when he or she brings them lies and deceit, or when he or she sings a grating song because he's not capable of harmonious singing. Idleness also allows the truth and the knowledge to go unheard, and idleness conceals the sense of life from the human being. So do not be idle. So you'll have to figure out an organizational structure in your life where you can still get rest and you can balance all these details. But idleness is very, very dangerous. We live under the creational natural law of not only love, but toil. You have to continue working. This is one of the creational natural laws of life. It says here just a couple of things I want to read real quick, and then we'll move on to some other things. At the age of 10 years, the human being's senses turned to learning. Now, when you were younger, your mind was a sponge that would just learn. And you, if you continue in the work of toiling, you will also get closer back to that state. At the age of 20 years, the human being embraces the power of his or her ability. When the human being takes up and internalizes odd and unreal things, there are a lot of unreal things out here in this life, then he or she tosses the truth far from himself or falls prey to a belief in unprovable and non-existent things. But this is not only dangerous, rather also harmful for all spiritual and consciousness-based progress, as well as knowledge-based and wisdom-based process. And the other thing it tells us here is that submissiveness destroys every feeling of self-worth. You know, I always get new listeners from time to time, so I like to go back over a few things that people may have heard before. Edward Albert Meyer is a 78-year-old man who lives in this tiny mountain village in Switzerland called Hinterschmidruti. According to Meyer information, his spirit form, his spiritual consciousness, is 9.6 billion years old, older than the very planet that we live on. His spirit form has lived through all the countless millions of years of reincarnations, all the way up back to merging with creation, and his spirit form came back down into physical existence in tens of thousands of years ago and started to teach again on planets in other solar systems and in other galaxies, and incarnated here on the Earth at least 13,500 years ago, probably even prior to that. His first contacts with extraterrestrial humans in this lifetime was when he was growing up as a small boy in Bulak, Switzerland, and he met with an extraterrestrial man named Svath, who was about 900 years old, who started to teach him creational natural laws and started to remind him of his predecessor personalities and tell him about the lifetime he would have on this earth. And he was told to stay in the background because other people would come forward and tell his story. And he was warned that the people of the earth make for themselves idols. He was also warned about materialistic intellectual thinking, which is the way the earth human mostly thinks, not trusting the spirit form, because the spirit form, which we should be following, will tell you if your thinking is right or wrong if you've learned to pay attention to it. And one of the things that Billy's third contact, Semyase, told him was, is the spirit is the wonder of all wonders, and that it would tell him if his thinking was right or wrong if he'd learned to pay attention to it. So this very, very young boy in Switzerland had a very, very ancient spiritual consciousness, which was being tutored by this extraterrestrial man named Svath, who came here to the earth to help this child eventually follow this very, very difficult life, where he would face all of these difficult trials. And some of the trials he would have to face were related to things that he knew were coming in the future. Trials like that he would lose his left arm. Trials that there would be attempts on his life. Trials that even his own wife would turn against him. All of these difficulties, there would be this great unrest in his group. And he had foreknowledge of many of these difficult times that he would face. But he continued on this mission. And that by the same token, you and I must continue to toil, because we are also a part of this mission. The earth is in an 800-year transitional period called the third millennium, and it's a time when confusion and maliciousness is spreading over the earth and manifesting itself in very many different ways. We're seeing civil wars. We're seeing people en masse leaving Syria, emigrating into the European countries, where they have a culture that doesn't match these European cultures. And we're seeing, you know, the Meyer prophecies say that France could fall. Literally, we could see in our lifetime the destruction of many of these European countries. Sweden, Germany are having the same kinds of problems. So it's like a time that never has been in eons. And we're going to be faced with some very difficult challenges. So Billy's first contact eventually told him that he would meet a woman named Asket from the Tao universe. And Billy, when he was 16 years old, met Asket. And she first brought him, and I won't talk about this incredible story again tonight, but one of the first things she did was took him to Egypt, where Billy saw and experienced the Giza intelligences that were below the Great Pyramid. And that changed his life forever. But she also took him on time travel trips. Allegedly, this is again one of the most, all the parts of the Meyer material controversial. But let me start out with this event that was, and maybe we can talk about this on another show in a little more detail, and I hope so. This was September 14th, 1964, in Maruli, India. And Billy is talking about, well, let me read here. It became clear to me after Askett's explanations that very many events of the past are very important for the future still to come. And for that reason, their course is not allowed to be influenced by the revealing of the facts through which certain matters within the events could become negatively charged. My own reason tells me that my silence was justifiably required and that I must hold to that in interest of all humans. And Billy goes on and he continues to talk about these future events. On the other hand, I also have no right at all to want to play do-gooder or someone who wants to change the world in order to change events from better better to worse by means of some sort of intervention as a result of my acquired knowledge. So one of the big challenges that Billy had was not only was he given information about the future from Svoth, and Svoth awakened certain abilities in his predecessor personality so that he could not only see the future of the world, but his own future. And he had to live with the knowledge that he couldn't really, there were certain things he just couldn't change. And he continues here, I must hold to that as it relates to the world and the humans exactly as I do, as it relates to my own life, which with very many events I know in advance. I know that these coming events must happen, and I must go through them, that I must overcome them, and that I may not simply avoid them, because I now know that these events hasten towards me at determined times and will bring me pain, suffering, as well as hate and slander. That which must occur must not be changed, because otherwise the required course of evolution would be disturbed. For that reason, it is a rational duty in respect to all creational laws to never influence the future counter to its determination when a human knows this future. In the course of the years of my life, it has, however, also become completely clear to me that it is not good for the human when he knows the future. Now get this. It's not a good thing to know the future. If he knows his future, then in his egoism, he moves in the direction of wanting to influence the future in accordance with his own will, and thereby creates an enormous unhappiness. This is because he wants to avoid certain coming events which will bring him suffering or need and so forth. I had to learn from my own experience that the human succumbs to very evil conflict within himself if he knows his own future. Billy talks about this incredible internal conflict which occurs when a person knows the future. It is especially the case if he becomes aware of negative things in his future. Out of egoism, self-pity, and other motivations, the human who has not had this explained to him resists the coming negative events if he knows them. Let me give you a little bit of insight, maybe. I think when you start to study this material, it's very possible that as we continue to grow and learn the Meyer material, that it becomes much, much more clear to us what's going to happen in the future. So this applies to us as well, I believe. And we have to, and I sigh when I say this, we have to sometimes accept that certain negative things are going to happen.
And no matter how much we talk to people, we're not going to be able to stop them from happening. Out of egoism, self-pity, and other motivations, the human has not had this explained to him, resists the coming negative events if he knows them. He tries to evade them, to avoid them, and to not have to confront them. The human also fears these kinds of coming negative events if he knows them in advance. But none of that is permitted, because already, just through that alone, through fear, the coming events will change and will evoke wrong effects. So you should not have fear when these negative events are starting to come. You have to be neutral, positive, even though you know these negative events are coming. The human is still not capable of coping with and fully understanding the truth. And he is not yet mature enough to know his future and to approach it correctly. For that reason, the truth must be rewritten prophetically for him, as in equations, in order to make him think independently, whereby he slowly finds himself and recognizes the truth. One of the things for the Meyer prophecies are for people who have very much lost the ability to think independently. Remember, independent thinking is what allows your consciousness to evolve. For that reason, the human must be spoken to in prophecies and parables. And also for that reason, the events of the future must be explained to him in a veiled form. So we're being told the future, but we're not being given all the details. It has to be that way. Everything must be explained and be presented in a rewritten form where the human is stirred to thinking. And that's what the Meyer prophecies are all about, is to stir to think, to get us to think. So the human is stirred to thought and begins to search. Only through research does he find possibilities of an interpretation. And in that way, slowly recognizes the truth. Were he not spoken to in parables and prophecies, and the explanations of the future not presented in circumscribed and somehow mysterious form, then he would make no effort to do his own thinking. And he would also want to change the future. Because if it were all presented in an open, unparaphrased form, he would indeed know all of this in every detail with which he could truly not cope. And I think we're coming to a point where it's very possible that there are futures that we're going to see and that we're going to know, and it's going to be very different for us to cope with these. And Billy goes on to explain, I know from my own experience that this is exactly the way it is. Many things were explained to me regarding my own life before the events actually overtook me. And I know just as many things about my life which are yet to happen to me. I have learned that knowing these things in advance requires a great deal of energy. And I can see that. Can you imagine all the things he knows that are not only going to, the bad things he's going to have to experience personally. He knows about these. And that's a constant inner war he's facing. But on top of that, he knows about all the negative things that are going to happen in this world coming up. And he has to deal with that. The energy, he says, it requires a great deal of energy, he says. And this kind of knowledge can lead to the edge of madness. And I do think Billy has been under pressures that have led him to the edge of madness. This is a very difficult personal road that he walks down. And he says, I often shiver with great terror when I know that yet again a very bad incident unavoidably approaches me. And very often I was on the verge of simply throwing everything in and preparing to end my life. Billy has been through some very difficult times. But with time, I learned that I had to master everything within myself if I wanted to do justice to life. This is, by the way, I think, Ask at Explanation 5, if you want to read this for yourself. I slowly learned to overcome the ghastly terror or angst and to correctly adapt to everything. But I am convinced that I would certainly not have been able to overcome everything without the loving help of my extraterrestrial friends. To know the actual truth about the future of one's own life is insane, because the human is not able to cope with this truth. He must quite simply be shattered by it. But if that is not so in my case, it is only because a superhuman strength, as well as the teachings of the truth, as well as the conquering of myself, and not the least of it, an appropriate outside help, which have fundamentally changed me. Therefore, that happened with me, and I did not earn all my success. I certainly never would have done that all alone, all by myself, because insofar as consciousness is concerned, I am certainly still much too primitive. Now, this is what Billy's saying. Listen to this. I can't believe Billy's saying this. Insofar as consciousness is concerned, I am certainly still much too primitive, too stupid, and too underdeveloped. I just throw in the towel right now. Oh, unbelievable. Through my own initiative alone, I never would have learned how to know my future, how not to influence it incorrectly, and how to approach it correctly. And today, if I feel no more angst and fear for all the coming events of the impending decades, that is also absolutely certainly not something I've earned on my own. I know what has to come. Yet for that, I feel no more angst or fear. I know that I may never try to change or influence the future merely because I know the future. This knowledge also conquered the angst and fear in me. Well, that, I believe, is Ask It Explanation 5. At least that's what I have written in my notes. Go to the Future of Mankind, and you can start to read these. I'm hoping that we will also talk about these in the future. Very, very profound material. Very overwhelming. Every time I go through it, I learn more. Every time I go through it, I get an information dump that I can't even describe to people. Well, you've been listening to Ohio Exopolitics. I'm your host, Mark Snyder. Please join me this evening on Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com, Studio B. We've got some more important information to talk about. Have a good evening. Good day.